This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Melissa Idris and Tan Chung Han. And we continue with a look at the top business stories of the day. Putrajaya will not inject any more money into the Tun Razak exchange for its infrastructure needs. The TRX currently needs funds mainly for building roads and drains, which could cost them between 1.5 and 2.5 billion ringgit.
Right. So if you recall, the Ministry of Finance, MOF, is the sole shareholder of TRX City at the moment. And what they're saying is that, well, if you want more money, you're going to have to raise that money yourself. Apparently, according to The Edge Weekly, they wrote about this in their latest issue. The senior management of TRX City met up with the Ministry of Finance, and I think they discussed funding options or, you know, issues to do with funding. But apparently the government is no longer willing to inject any more money into the Tun Razak exchange. I'm not quite sure how much money is needed. It's not said exactly how much money is needed for the infrastructure development side, which includes, you know, building drains and roads and connectivity and laying cables and all that. But if you do look at a news report back in 2015, I believe TRX City was looking to invest as much as 3.8 billion ringgit when it comes to infrastructure works.
Right. So, you know, we've got the range that Sharad mentioned earlier, 2.5 billion ringgit. And then, like you mentioned, Mel, could be
up to 3.8 billion.
Right.
You know, yeah?
So we'll have to wait and see. But then, you know, so if this story in The Edge Weekly is correct, you know, that whereby MOF is no longer willing to fund TRX's infrastructure requirements, and they have to find the money on their own. What does that mean? Because, you know, do you start looking for PPP?
Public-private partnerships.
Right, you know, and then you've already seen how Pakatan Harapan, you know, has already, you know, shown their displeasure at some of the arrangements under the previous administration when it comes to PPPs, you know, the kind of liabilities that it causes the federal coffers. Or do you then tap the debt market, right, raise bonds, and at the same time, you have seen this apprehension towards debt in general. What does that mean?
Do you let it fail?
Yeah, do you let it fail? But I think the Pakatan government has already said, like, look, they have to make sure that this project goes through, right? But how do you go about it, given your unwillingness to fund the infrastructure requirements?
Find a benefactor, find an investor, right? So I believe previously they were looking to sell a part of Bandar Malaysia. So if I'm not mistaken, there was supposed to be they were supposed to sell a 60% stake in Bandar Malaysia to this JV or consortium of Iskandar Waterfront and China Railway Engineering. That deal fell through. And then they held out for a bigger offer, which never materialized.
Right. But that wouldn't be under TRX's call, though. Bandar Malaysia, now it's also under MOF. But what MOF is telling TRX specifically, hey, you guys find your own money, right? So what does that mean? Tap the capital markets, liquidate more assets? You know, what more can they liquidate? Or, you know, go down...
Why can't they sell Bandar Malaysia?
Oh, no, because that's MOF's call. TRX is separate from Bandar Malaysia. Yeah, so you know, at least I'm reading this story, what MOF is telling TRX management specifically for your TRX project, you go find your own money. Don't touch the federal coffers. At least that's what we're getting from this story in The Edge Weekly. Page 20, you can always go and check it out, right? So, you know, plenty of question marks there, not just for the federal coffers, but also for corporates here in Malaysia.
Yeah, so the question is, should MOF was MOF right in saying, well, TRX, you have to raise your own funds when it comes to the infrastructure development? I believe what I'm trying to say here quite incoherently is that should MOF invest even more in TRX to make sure that it succeeds? Because at the end of the day, MOF is a sole shareholder of TRX. Is forking a little bit more money to ensure the success of the development of this project be worth it in the end? Or to let it fail by not investing enough? I mean, you stand to lose a lot more at the end of the day, right?
Right, you know, because you've got several stakeholders involved in this project as well. Beyond the 106 Tower, you've got HSBC, who is set to build their own regional headquarters over there. Lendlease has got a lifestyle quarter there, 60% owned by them, 40% owned by TRX City. You've got, yeah, you know, Affin Bank, Lembaga Tabung Haji, right? They all have their various investments in the broader project as well, which I believe is set to take up to 15 years. You know, so yeah, it's got ramifications, not just for the federal coffers, not just for the potential beneficiaries if TRX goes ahead as planned, but also say the likes of WCT, because back
corporates.
Corporates, October 2015, they had secured a two-year contract worth over 750 million ringgit for various infrastructure and civil engineering work, right? Will that still go through?
So how did MOF end up with this TRX baby?
Yeah, the baby.
Holding the TRX baby.
Yeah, so you've got the PAC, the Public Accounts Committee, who made a recommendation that 1MDB and its various entities be absorbed into MOF. So that was under the previous administration. So now the current administration has to deal with this dilemma, right? So, what do you do with TRX?
Roads lead back to 1MDB today at this point
in time. It does. And at this point in time, I really don't think the government should be acting as a property developer. It's beyond their mandate. And going forward, I hope that MOF doesn't find itself with another property baby as well.
Right, so then there you go, right? So if you sell your stakes in not just the land lease project, the Tower 106 project, etc., right? If you liquidate all that, then you lose control and it becomes a fully private project then,
entity,
right?
Yeah.
And is that a fair trade-off for the people? You know, that's something that Pakatan has to decide.
Well, moving on, Pakatan Prime Minister, or Prime Minister of the country, really, coming across from Pakatan Harapan government, Tun Dr. Mahathir is in Japan for a three-day working visit. He's accompanied by Tun Dr. Siti Hasma. Dr. Mahathir will be attending the 24th Annual Conference on the Future of Asia, organized by Nikkei. That's why it's known as the Nikkei Conference. The keynote address, which you'll be delivering, is entitled Keeping Asia Open, How to Achieve Prosperity and Stability.
Yeah, so Tun Dr. Mahathir indicated last week that he'd be speaking on the look on East or the look East policy at the Nikkei Conference. And I think, this has caused commentators to be abuzz that this could be a revival of the look East policy back in the 80s. Could this be the look East policy 2.0? Tun Dr. Mahathir famously had, a soft spot for the Japanese culture, the Japanese work ethic. And also, back in the day, I believe, there was a lot of contribution that Japan made into Malaysia via expertise in the E&E industries, the heavy industries. Mitsubishi playing a huge role when it comes to the birth of the Proton Saga back in 1985. Daihatsu later on with Produa. So I didn't know this, but apparently the construction of the Dayabumi complex and the AMNO headquarters is actually a JV between Japanese companies.
Right. So the links between Japan and Malaysia are certainly strong. Well, perhaps it may have waned in recent years, at least in terms of the headlines being dominated by China. But could this visit spark a revisit of that look East policy 2.0?
Yeah. So the other way to look at it, perhaps, is to think about the country diversifying the sources of funding. Now, in that article we mentioned earlier from Bloomberg, when it compares Japan and China in terms of the infrastructure game in Southeast Asia, you look at the graph there. Indonesia has quite a good balance between Japan and Chinese sources of funding, some 45 versus 53 billion US dollars in infrastructure spend there.
Quite equal.
But if you look at other countries in the region, Vietnam is very skewed towards Japan, Philippines very skewed towards Japan, Malaysia skewed towards China, and Thailand also has a reasonably good balance between the two countries.
So we're the only country regionally that is skewed towards China? It does seem so.
We are the absolutely
only
right
country.
Yeah,
right. So look, this is not a zero sum game, right? Japan has been one of our top FDI sources in recent years, at least according to the Department of Statistics Malaysia. But if you look at trade, on the other hand, you have obviously seen China being the dominant trade partner for Malaysia. Number one, they do more than twice the amount of trade that we do versus Japan, right? So it's something that may need some recalibration. But going back to this idea, right, the ideals of, say, Japanese corporates and you know, what we espouse to be, right? That romanticized notion, I think, has been eroded somewhat, because if you look at the corporate scandals out of Japan in recent times, you know, we're talking about Nissan, we're talking about Kobe Steel, Takata, obviously, some of the nuclear plants as well. They have been, you know, engulfed in this scandal, you know, about fudging data, right? That involves not just passenger safety, safety of the airbags, but also Boeing Boeing parts, right? Airplane parts, right? So, you know, this idea that Japan is what we want to become, you know, is that really the case anymore?
Yeah, and because, you know, going back a couple of decades, there was always Yoko Ono, proof that we might not want to become Japan. I think
that was so random.
Okay, we're coming up to the top of the hour. We'll have the bulletin and then we'll be back with opening numbers on the stock market and more news and analysis. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with the Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.